Okay, let's unpack this. Because if you step into a marked crosswalk today, you probably feel like you've just stepped inside, a legal force field.
Right. I mean, you have the right of way.
Exactly. The white lines are painted brightly on the asphalt, and the law says traffic must yield. But what happens when you realize a driver traveling at like just 30 miles an hour who glances at a text message for 2 seconds has just driven 90 feet completely blind?
Yeah, that imaginary force field just vanishes.
It really does. Welcome to a brand new deep dive. Today, we are exploring a really eye-opening piece of source material titled Caught on Camera, Pedestrian Struck in Yonkers Crosswalk Highlights the Serious Risks Facing Westchester Pedestrians.
And this was brought to us by the podcasters for the law offices of Norman Gershon.
Right. And our mission for you today is to really explore the hidden dangers on local streets. We're going to decode the pretty deceptive tactics that insurance companies use right after an accident.
And we're going to give you the ultimate legal playbook for protecting yourself, featuring the powerhouse attorney that other lawyers call when the stakes are highest.
Exactly. And, looking at what happened in Yonkers.
Well, what's crucial to understand is that what happened in Yonkers, it's not an isolated incident at all.
No.
It's really a symptom of a much broader issue affecting pedestrian interactions all across Westchester County and New York City every single day.
Right, because just following the rules clearly doesn't guarantee your safety anymore.
Not even close.
I mean, let's discuss this terrifying reality highlighted in the source. This pedestrian in Yonkers was struck while they were using a marked crosswalk.
They did everything right.
They did. But you've got these local hotspots where these interactions number in the thousands every day. Places like Yonkers, White Plains, New Rochelle.
Not Vernon, the Bronx.
Yeah, Manhattan, Queens. Mm-hmm. And it's especially dangerous in communities near schools, shopping centers, train stations.
Basically anywhere foot traffic meets heavy vehicular traffic.
And there are specific arteries where drivers really must remain alert. We're talking about Central Park Avenue, the Cross County Parkway.
Bronx River Parkway.
Oh, exactly. And I-87, plus all the local neighborhood streets.
And the causes are, they're sadly predictable.
Yeah.
Failing to yield, speeding, texting, or mobile phone use.
Careless left or right turns are a huge one.
Huge. Plus poor conditions like rain or darkness.
Which brings me back to this idea of the marked crosswalk as an imaginary force field that pedestrians mistakenly trust. Why is it that despite the bright lines and the signs, a single moment of driver distraction can just shatter that force field in an instant?
What's fascinating here is the psychology behind it. The human brain simply isn't wired to manage the modern roadway's sheer volume of distractions.
Like checking a GPS while driving.
Exactly. Drivers are suffering from cognitive overload, so their brains prioritize high-level threats, like oncoming cars, and literally filter out the pedestrian in the crosswalk.
Wow, so they can look right at you and just not see you.
All right, it's called inattentional blindness. And when that cognitive mismatch results in a physical collision, the results are devastating.
So if the crosswalk can't protect you, what happens when impact actually occurs? Because that leads directly into the physical and financial fallout of these crashes.
It does. And we really need to bust the myth that low speed means low injury.
Yeah, people think, oh, it was just 10 or 15 miles an hour. It's just a tap.
It's never just a tap. You're talking about a 3,000 to 4,000 pound machine striking a fragile human body. The source lists some catastrophic injuries from these so-called low-speed impacts.
Sporadic brain injuries, right?
Yes, TBIs, spinal cord injuries, complex broken bones, internal injuries, and permanent disability.
Which is just terrifying. But the source also outlines the victim's legal rights under New York law, right?
Yeah. You have the right to recover compensation for medical expenses, lost wages.
Future medical treatment is a big one.
A massive one. Plus pain and suffering, rehabilitation, and reduced quality of life.
But then we pivot to the villain of the story, the insurance companies.
Right, because they do not want to pay for all of that.
No, they attempt to minimize payouts by actively disputing fault or just totally downplaying the severity of the injuries. Here's where it gets really interesting.
Oh, the tactics they use.
It's like comparing insurance adjusters to referees who are secretly on the opposing team's payroll.
That is a very accurate way to look at it.
Right. So if the insurance company's default setting is to doubt your injuries, how does a victim even stand a chance without getting steamrolled?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this is exactly why early intervention is critical.
To preserve evidence.
Exactly. You have to preserve evidence, pull surveillance footage from local businesses or traffic cams, and interview witnesses.
Before the insurance company controls the narrative.
Right. Because video loops get overwritten 48 hours. Witnesses forget. You need someone acting fast.
And since the insurance companies are playing hardball, you, the listener, need a heavy hitter on your side.
You absolutely do.
Which transitions perfectly into the profile of Norman Gershon.
Yes. The source introduces his massive footprint in this area. He has over 35 years of representing injured victims.
All throughout Westchester County, White Plains, Yonkers, the Bronx, Manhattan, Queens, Brooklyn, and the surrounding areas.
And his reputation is just elite. He is literally the lawyer other attorneys call to try their toughest cases.
That's incredible. So insurance companies actually know and fear Norman Gershon.
They do, because they know his track record. And the financial model is great for victims because you only pay if you win.
That takes so much pressure off. And the source recites some of these specific massive firm victories. I mean, listen to these numbers.
Beige-bagger.
A $16.5 million verdict for an auto passenger against a bus.
Wow.
A $14.5 million settlement for a catastrophic bus accident.
Just massive results.
There's a $5.445 million verdict for a serious motor vehicle collision. And multiple verdicts ranging from $2 million to over $5 million for victims suffering spinal injuries and requiring surgery.
And you look at the client testimonials in the source, too.
Yeah, they praise him for his courtroom skill, his intense preparation, his communication.
One client even called him a beast in the courtroom.
I love that.
And he's credited with achieving larger than expected settlements through just relentless advocacy.
So just to make sure we get it out there early, the contact number prominently featured is 914-485-41044.
You definitely want to have that saved.
But, you know, looking at this track record, it makes me think, in the legal world, being the lawyer's lawyer, the guy they call in for the toughest cases, is like being the elite closer in a baseball game.
That's exactly what it's like.
So what is it about being a beast in the courtroom that actually forces insurance companies to hand over a $16.5 million verdict instead of fighting it?
It comes down to leverage. A reputation built on relentless trial preparation and decades of multi-million dollar results just removes the insurance company's leverage.
Because they know he's actually willing to go to trial.
Exactly. Most lawyers want to settle quickly. The actuaries at the insurance companies know this, so they lowball you.
Right.
But when Norman Gershon steps in, they know he fronts the money for top accident reconstructionists and medical experts. He builds a bulletproof case.
So the insurance company does the math and realizes going to a jury would be a disaster for them.
Right. The mere threat of his preparation completely changes the math.
That is fascinating. Okay, so now that we know who to call, we need to know exactly what to do in the chaotic moments right after a crash.
Yes, to protect your case for Norman Gershon to take over.
Right, the victim's playbook. So the source runs through an essential post-accident checklist. First, obviously, call 911 immediately.
Standard, but crucial.
Then seek medical attention, even if your injuries feel minor.
We can't stress that one enough.
After that, obtain the police accident report, photograph the scene, collect witness information.
And this is the really critical part.
Yeah, crucially, avoid discussing fault with insurance adjusters before obtaining legal advice.
Never give a recorded statement while you're in shock.
Right. And then contact an experienced car accident lawyer. And the source reiterates the area served. Like Scarsdale, Harrison, Rye.
Bronxville, Tarrytown, Peekskill.
All over. And again, the firm's number is 914-485-1444. But I have to push back a little on this checklist.
Oh, I so.
So what does this all mean for the actual victim on the ground?
Your body is in shock, right? Adrenaline is pumping. But you are supposed to instantly transform into this cool-headed crime scene investigator.
It's a lot to ask of someone who just got hit by a car.
How do you manage that? You're lying on the pavement trying to take photos and get phone numbers?
This raises an important question. Evolution didn't design us to do paperwork while our bodies are flooded with adrenaline.
Exactly.
You might actually feel fine, tell everyone you're fine, and then wake up the next day unable to move your neck.
Because the adrenaline wore off.
Right. So the secret here is focusing on your health first. Call 911. Let the doctors evaluate you. Establish that medical baseline immediately.
Okay, so health first, but what about the photos and the witnesses? That's where you immediately pass the baton to legal representation.
Ah, I see.
You don't have to be the investigator. You just have to make the call so they can handle the investigation phase before evidence disappears.
So you let the firm pull the 48-hour video loops before they get deleted.
Exactly. You focus on healing.
Mm-hmm.
They focus on building the fortress around your case.
Well, that makes a lot more sense. It's all about making that handoff.
It really is.
So to recap, we've gone on quite the journey today. We started by understanding the illusion of crosswalk safety.
That force field doesn't exist.
It really doesn't. And we looked at the reality of life-altering injuries even at low speeds, plus the deceptive playbook of those insurance companies.
And of course, the peace of mind that comes from having a beast in the courtroom like Norman Gershon on your side.
Seriously. So one last strong reminder to you listening. Save the number 914-485-4844 in your phones right now. Because you only pay if you win, and you truly never know when you'll need the lawyer that other lawyers call.
And as we wrap up, I want to leave you with one final thought to ponder.
Let's hear it.
The title of today's source mentions being caught on camera. We live in a world where every intersection, storefront, and dashboard is recording.
Cameras are literally everywhere.
Everywhere. But if the constant presence of all these cameras hasn't stopped drivers from being distracted and hitting people, are these cameras actually preventing accidents?
Oh, wow.
Or are they just providing better evidence for the lawyers fighting over the aftermath?
That is an unsettling thought. It really feels like we're just recording the disaster rather than stopping it. Definitely something to mull over the next time you step off the curb. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and we'll catch you next time.